Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Heading into the show video. We're only live on Thursday, but LA Talk Radio plays us on other nights at other times. You can always access our archives. Feel free to do so. Tonight, we have a very special guest, Patricia Eltinge. I'd like to introduce her now, and I'd like to say, Dr. Pat Allen, you are live on the air.
I know I'm live, and I'm excited about it.
And I'm here with you, Pat. This is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. I thought we had done one of these this month.
Well, no, it's been a month. It has been a month.
We've got to keep me straight on this.
Well, we are.
Good.
Always good at that. So here we are, Pat. And hopefully, from what I understand, Kelly has someone who wrote in a dream for me to talk about.
But before we go there, there might be someone that has never listened to our program.
Very good.
And I want to introduce you appropriately.
Thank you.
How did you ever get into my world?
Oh, well, Pat, it was a journey that I was in the health field for many years, since 1980, in the adjunct health world, and had a alternative health clinic. And I studied many forms of natural healing. And the missing ingredient was psychology. And that led me to you. But my dreams was your doing discovery, where you actually knew that I had a gift. I thought it was a curse, but you recognized my gift of being able to read dreams. So you helped me hone that skill, and I so appreciate it. And you supervised me through the production of my book, which is The Dream Class.
Which is absolutely coffee table qualified.
Well, thank you.
It's a beautiful book. Yeah, it's a beautiful book. And I'm glad to hear you talking about having a print of a paperback print.
Yes, that's coming soon. We've sold out of the first edition. So the second edition is coming soon. And that we will be offering some paperback as well. But the hardbound book is the beautiful coffee table style book.
That's right. And you'll give us your a phone number or how to reach you?
Yeah, all of the above. My web address is thedreamclass.com. And I be found there. Mm-hmm. That's thedreamclass.com. People who want to schedule an appointment with me can do it through that, or they can reach out through my business line, 310-528-0515. And I take appointments, and I put together groups for people when they want to have their own groups with their, I've done many Zoom groups with people's churches and temples and bridge clubs and book clubs, and we get down to business about dreams, which is, to me, the gateway to your subconscious. I really help people discover that reservoir. It's a secret reservoir of knowledge that we all have, but need to be taught how to tap into it. And that's what I do.
And how do you tap into your dreams? I have so many people in my practice who basically say they can't remember dreaming.
Well, We talk about that in Chapter 7, How to Capture Your Dreams. And the quick takeaway today for how to capture your dreams, which is a
good
small piece of it, is to keep a pad by your bed. And I prefer a pad rather than an electrical recording device. And you can keep your eyes closed and keep a journal by your bed, because you are on wake of a consciousness between sleeping and waking for a 3 to 4 minute period called the Lyman state. And it's in that state of that in-between state of consciousness that you can capture images in your dreams. And we suggest you jot it down just with your eyes closed still, a couple of images. You don't have to write it perfectly. Just write down a few images that you saw, or even one image to start with. And that will start your journey on teaching you how to yourself. This is a self-practiced thing. It's practice like yoga, learning the violin, learning to golf. You practice your dream work and you get better at it as you go. And you'd be surprised of the stuff that bubbles up through your from your unconscious through your subconscious to your conscious mind. And we help you decipher it.
So what is a nightmare?
Oh boy, a nightmare. People call them nightmares, but you and I like to refer to them as scary images because, and I quote you in my book, all dreams wish us well, even the scary ones. So when we have scary images coming up from our subconscious mind, they are bringing us messages for our personal growth and transformation. So the messages might seem scary, the images might seem scary, but the messages are for positive gain.
Good. Shall we take one on?
Let's take one on. Go, Kelly.
Okay, here we go. A handsome man approaches me in a Paris bistro at night. He buys me wine and bread and cheese and fruit. We have conversation about Paris at night. He walks me to my hotel and pulls me into an alley and bites my neck and begins to drink my blood. Then he says, "I love you." Then I wake up.
Wow, this is great. I don't know her reaction to this. Sometimes people can have a seemingly scary images in their dreams and not be scared in the dream when it's happening. So I say that, I don't know who this is. That this is a woman dreaming this. Am I right, Kelly?
This is a woman dreaming this, and okay. She mm-hmm. actually had a conversation with me, and she told me she didn't feel any fear.
Okay, that's my question. So preparing herself to be courted. So the buying of the wine and the bread and the cheese and the fruit is you're getting yourself ready. She's wanting to be courted. That's what people do when they're courting. So, and this is a sensuous Paris and is a sensuous town. It's and the wine and cheese and fruit. This is a sensuous experience. So she is preparing herself subconsciously for sensuality, and eating is sensuous. Now she says we have a conversation about Paris at night. Well, at night, that's the dark side. So there's something of her dark side. There might be a little bit of something that is not yet uncovered for her. But he walks me to the hotel and pulls me into the alley and bites my neck, well, and begins to drink my blood. This whole vampire-like stuff is very, very sexual. And what I have found in these situations, this is a person who is really preparing herself to be ravaged. I think she wants to be ravaged and maybe hasn't found a man who's man enough to... I don't know this person, but maybe there hasn't been enough man enough who
can ravage her, but she's preparing herself to be ravaged, and she wants to be courted and is ready for this sensuous experience, and she wants to surrender. She's willing at this stage of her life to surrender to being ravaged. I love it.
So what about his final comment there in the dream? I love you.
Well, that's why it's not a threat. It's not threatening, or that's why I call it, this is very much a sensuous experience, and her preparing herself for sensuality and love, because this is her deep-seated feelings of craving to be loved and ravaged.
Now, did you say that he drank her blood?
Yes. That's her feet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand, when a man drinks a woman's blood, he's in the process of enmeshing with her, not sexually, but emotionally.
Right.
And when a man dates you, he basically wants to have sex. But when he starts to drink your blood, which is who you are as a human spiritual animal, what he's doing is enmeshing with you.
This is your life force. Yes.
That's exactly right. A man's soul is the anima, feminine.
And
a woman's soul is masculine. So I see that he's willing to drink her blood as a way to enmesh with her, since she hasn't given him her body.
And she is preparing herself for this. And this is coming up from her subconscious.
She is
preparing herself for this to happen in her waking life. This is what's important. I hope she's listening this afternoon, because she is actually mentally, subconsciously preparing herself for this to happen in her life, to really be enmeshed with a partner.
Me, even more so, she's willing to have him suck her life force, which is her blood.
That's surrender. She's willing at this time of her life to surrender. And this is the important thing. I imagine this woman has not surrendered before. And she, maybe from listening to the show, working with Pat, I don't know her, but I'm seeing in this dream that she is at this time is ready to surrender.
And he says, I love you, which is commitment.
I love it. So I have a little background on our dreamer. First of all, she is in fact listening, and she is a 38-year-old professional tennis player who's never been married, was always too busy being a tennis pro to ever have any deep and serious relationship, and often felt as if people only were attracted to her because she was a fairly prominent tennis professional.
What she was a girl raised to be a boy by a father who wanted a son.
And now she is willing to surrender to a man who can ravage her. She is willing now, finally. But she has to have...
I love it.
It takes a hell of a man to approach her and handle her. She's going to have to find a hell of a man.
Yeah.
That's when you read my book, Getting to I Do.
Yes, and she has. She's a listener, and she is actually giving up being in the tennis circuit. She's going to actually become a coach instead, and she's broadening out her life, trying to, you know, I guess professional sports is very dominating of your time and energy. So
she's really get my book called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, and how it's a how-to. This is a way into our subconscious. I say it's the back door to our subconscious, and we can speed up the process of our personal growth when we understand what's going on in there. And this book really helps us get in touch with our own sixth sense.
So, did you say what you wanted to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have.
Okay.
And what else? What else can I offer?
You can offer to do this next month like we plan.
Yes. And again, my website is thedreamclass.com. My name is Patricia Eltinge, author of The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And like all dreams do, I wish you well.
Oh,
good.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So much,
thank you.
Patricia, always a pleasure to have you on. Everyone, Patricia Eltinge's book, you can get it on Amazon. It is absolutely gorgeous. The photography in it is stunning. I highly recommend.
I do too.
So now I believe we are going to go to calls, and let's see what our switchboard has for us. Okay, caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Look at what we've got, Brian.
Yes, he's back. So a couple of things happened yesterday. I met somebody I was interested in, and I expressed it fairly clearly, although I didn't ask her out immediately, and I'm
Why
glad
not?
I didn't. Because she told me that she was married. I was about to, but she
I really like that.
She wasn't wearing a ring.
Honey, she needed a lover and she nailed you.
Nah, I'm not looking for a lover.
Okay, she is.
Well, she may or may not, but I know that's not what I'm looking for. So if somebody tells me they're married, that's not something I want to get involved with.
Where did you get her ad? Was it an amp?
No. Actually, she was working at the library, and that's why it was also good, because it was meeting somebody in the flesh. It wasn't somebody who was searching to meet somebody, from what I could tell. I was attracted to her, so I wanted to find out more.
And you did, and she told you the truth, and I like that.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it, because I think it's, you know, building up my skill for asking people out in the world, which was fine.
There are people who are in marriages that are open. They agree that they each have the right to have lovers. And that's their version of monogamy.
That's fine, but that I didn't get that. I didn't necessarily get that indication from her. And even if that was what she wanted, that's not what I want. So I'm not interested in dating anybody who's married.
I'm simply making the point that you have a right to be singularly monogamous, and she has a right to be polygamously monogamous. As long as they both agree. What?
Yeah, I think that's true. And again, I was in a situation like that a couple months, maybe a year ago, where that came up. And even though it was, in a way, tough to say no, I'm glad that I did.
I'm thrilled.
That's not what I'm
That's so good. So you were you and she was she, and it isn't compatible.
Either her being married and not, or wanting to date people on the side, either one of those are going to be, deal breakers for me. So it wasn't worth exploring anymore. But again, my goal is to meet people when I'm out and about and not spend as much time online, unless it's a speed thing where it's,
are you going to keep on following the three women, three dates each woman?
Yes, I have somebody that I was supposed to go out with last weekend, but her sister got COVID and they live like in a duplex next to each other. So she wanted to be safe, and she wants to be even safe this upcoming weekend. I understand that, and she still seems eager about getting together. And then there's somebody else, and then there's another. I'm trying to think if there's another.
Hunting. You are flirting, eyeballs and smile, and you are talking first, right?
Yeah. That's why I was happy about what happened at the live. And so the result is that I made the move, and I saw something that I liked and went after it.
Wonderful. Remember, God created us polygamously, and we decide culturally and religiously how polygamous we want to be. And you don't want to be polygamous, so you're not compatible with her.
There was no reason to explore further. Let's put it that way.
That's the point, because that was a deal breaker.
Yeah, but what's good is it still helps with my confidence with the idea of, okay, yes, I can approach people and in person, and
that's what we've been doing for the last couple of months, and I love it.
Yeah, definitely. So I had one other thing I wanted to ask about.
What's that? Oh,
did you have something else? Oh, it was
what did you want to say?
Go ahead. Oh, about intimate, what is that book? Intimate Partners, that it talked about the animas and anima, that as a woman, from what I read most recently, it sounded like you almost want a balance of that male, that I know you talk about a woman's soul being masculine, but it sounded like the book was also making the point to not let that, masculine soul take over, to make sure that you still have, connection to the feminine side.
Women have female bodies that are built brain-wise female, or hormones female, so that they're built to feel good, to do good. Women who don't feel good in their bodies are very uncomfortable in their bodies and can be very subject to eating addictions, sugar addictions, because they're raised to be men instead of women. A little girl has to be cherished by her daddy or the daddy figure by the time she's 8 years old. There's a wonderful book, my Appleton, Fathers and Daughters, and it's about the need for a man to cherish his daughter, or could be a grandpa if daddy's dead, or could even be an older brother. But girls need to be cherished because they're built to feel good. But boys, here's one. For 11 years, a boy has to earn his mother's respect, or he ends up a girl. His soul is the anima. Her soul is the animas. And the book on that is written by Carl Jung's wife, Emma, and it's called Anima Animas. And there's another one by Sanford called The Invisible Partners. Isn't that predictive of what I'm saying? So
that's what I was reading.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, that's what I was making reference to. Was in the book, it seemed like the message was, is okay, be mindful that you do have, and I guess as a woman, you know, that dark masculine soul, but don't let it, you know, don't let it take over your feminine side. And I was thinking that seems to be the message that you tell women all of the time, that a lot of times, you know, that masculine side, that they kind of let that animus take over inside, and to be, you know, to be mindful of, you know, making sure that feminine side comes out.
Men need to be respected by the women they're falling in love with, or they cannot cherish her. There's a book called, it's about War Against Boys by a woman named Summers. When a mother doesn't respect her son by the time he's 11 and talk to him as a young man instead of a girl in a boy's body, how do you feel, little boy? How do you feel? That's where therapists make their most money. And that's what Sigmund Freud did with the idea of the wound of a non-respecting mother to her son and the wound of a non-cherishing father with a girl. There's a wonderful book about fathers and daughters called Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard. So, Brian, I think we've laid it out on the table, and keep on reading.
I've got one more chapter in Intimate Partners or Passions. And, I think I'm getting more out of it than the Emma Jung book. It seems like it's in a little more concise and modern language, which I like.
Good, good, good. Okay?
All right. Okay. Thank you again, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome. Call again.
I will. Goodbye for now.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye for now.
All righty. We've got some more calls in our... Oh, where we go. Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Me now, Pat?
What?
You put my husband and I together.
You must turn your radio down.
Wait a minute. Say that again, please.
Okay, wait. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to turn off the TV.
Wait a minute.
You have to turn it down.
I'm sorry. Pat.
That's all right.
My name's Karen, and you put my husband and I in a beautiful marriage, but I have lost him now. So,
how did you lose him?
He passed away within a week with acute leukemia.
He died.
Yes, and it's like, I know you have been through this, and I thought I was going
yes,
to try to
have
some counseling with you, but you're not doing that anymore. So,
I know. I'm doing this, though, and we're
I know
doing
you are,
Kelly.
So I
Kelly,
thought I'm going to get a hold of her. 1986 is when we were together, first met and saw you. So
do you need a grief group book?
I need books. I need counselors. I need whatever. It's been 4 months, and I'm doing pretty good. I have, thank God, I have my sister and niece very close in the same area, so they're with me, and lots of good friends, but I know, having had counseling with you, this is deeper than, you know, just friends.
I know that most hospitals or churches have grief groups.
Okay.
Are you willing?
Yeah, he was at Home Hospital.
So get a professional set with maybe spiritual foundations. I don't know whether you're in a religious system.
Yeah, I'm Christian.
Good. Christians are very noted. There's an author, Kubler-Ross, a lady who's, I don't believe she's alive now, but she's done a wonderful book about grief and people you love dying.
Uh-huh.
So please get some professional comfort, because it's just like you give me credit for helping you marry, because I'm a marriage, family, child therapist. Well, there are grief therapists.
That's what I was wondering, if you had any particular people that are in your groups or around you that you recommend. Is there any way to get that?
I want you in a theme group called a grief group.
Okay.
My groups are getting married. My groups are dealing
with relationships.
Yeah. So that's not what I'm into, but I'm sure into people. Grief group Ross.
And how do you spell the first name?
You know what? I don't even think Kubler is the first name. Kelly, do you know what Kubler-Ross's name is?
I'm going to take a look, Dr. Pat. You continue with the call, and I'll see if you can find it.
Okay.
And Pat, is that what, did you ever have to go to grief counseling or anything like that for your losses?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I went. I wouldn't recommend them if I didn't do it.
No, I know, but thought maybe somebody, okay. Well, that's what I will be doing.
I want you to do that. And if you can, get a Christian one so that you are supported by a church, a religion, a God. Do you see?
Yes. Okay. And I'll let you know how I'm doing. How's that?
That's what this radio show is about.
I know. Well, okay.
I have Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
And
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Kubler-Ross.
Kubler hyphen Ross, Swiss American psychiatrist, pioneer in near death studies, author of the book On Death and Dying. Okay. On Death and Dying. And then there's a movie, Facing Death. So you may want to watch that.
Well, thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Pat, for everything, for all the years. You're amazing.
Thank you for appreciating me. We're all amazing.
God. Yeah, and all my girlfriends that went to you after I sent them are still appreciating you.
Good. I plan on doing it for a while longer.
You better hang in there.
51 year. I am. 51 years. Was I fat when you knew me?
I met you in 1983, I think.
Oh, okay. Because I'm not fat anymore.
I know you're not fat anymore.
Well, I was fat before 1984.
Yes. Yeah, tell your story from the stories are of your life are amazing. You know, I wish you would have written a book about it. I do and your father from the stories that Christmas and the
tell
tree went
stories.
Out.
Well, I did good things and I did bad things, and I'm doing good things today.
You've been doing good things for what, over 45 years or so?
51.
51 years, okay. Anyway,
I'm 87 years old.
I know, but that's still young for you.
It is. Somebody told me once, I was the oldest teenager she ever met.
I think so. I know. Well, you're amazing. I know. You're just... and I'm serious. There's so many of my friends and I go, oh, I couldn't get counseling with Pat because she's only doing her show now. And,
but wait a minute. I'm not... No. Kelly, would you please do a commercial for...
What's really amazing is right now, Dr. Pat has groups. We have a wait list and you can reach out to get on that wait list. But Sue Wagner and I are also doing groups. Further, if you're interested in doing a life script, Dr. Allen is the one to go to. She does life scripts and she does high by letters. Those are special appointments that we do, and you can reach out to info@drpatallen.com to get on the wait list or book an appointment for a live script reading or for a high by letter critique. It's pretty amazing. Dr. Allen does groups 4 days a week. Sue and I are doing groups, and I'll tell you, we only have a couple of spots left for May, so if anybody's interested, better hop on it, because once we fill those spots, we're all closed for the month of May, but you never know what crazy thing will happen in June.
Oh, I know. You never know, do you? Anyway, I remember all, we used to do the 101 psychology with her in her office with maybe... Unbelievable people.
I love this conversation. My ego does too, but I'm going to go to the next person.
I figured it's time to go, Pat. Okay. I certainly appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good luck. Okay. I love it. You know, Dr. Allen, I love that you mentioned the grief groups. And, you know, I had a friend whose husband passed, and I suggested she write him a high by letter of sorts. And it was very effective. She loved it, and it really helped the healing. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes, I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you guys doing?
Hi. What can I do for you?
Yes. So it's been a while, Dr. Pat. I have a question in regards to a person who is like, so I went to university with this man, and then we graduated from college and he now decided to work in my company. So I know him since college, but now he's more of a coworker.
Wait a minute. He's calling you for dates or he's calling you for business?
No. He's not calling me. He works with me. He works with me.
That's what I thought I heard.
Does he work with me? I'm sorry?
What is the advice you need?
Okay. So the advice I need is this. Every time this man has an opportunity at work, whether it's lunch, whether it's a conference, every time that he has free and he can live, he can exit his floor to come to my floor in the building, he does that. And if we're...
I hear that he's flirting with you.
Yes. And this was also the same in college. Right. But here's the thing. He's a year younger and a lot of people have told me it seems like he's interested, but he has never.
I understand that. What is your question for me? I hear a man goes upstairs and flirts with you.
But he has never asked me on a date. Like he has never officially been like, hey, Gladys, can
I want you to know that men today want to be women, and he wants you to chase him. Don't.
Okay.
And please smile back. Please flirt back. But
yes.
I want you, are you in a relationship?
No.
Do you want to be in one?
Yes.
Is he chemically attractive to you?
Yes.
And have you ever chased him? Have you ever asked him out? Have you ever talked first?
No.
Then you are being a good Pat Allen girl because I want you to be courted by him. And that means he flirts with you, hoping that you'll ask him out. But you're not, because you want to be cherished, not respected.
Yes.
Being his boss at work is perfectly normal. Everybody's masculine at work. That's the point of calling it work. Everybody, men have female souls, but they have male bodies that want to compete, conquer, and control. We women, we have female bodies, but we have male souls, thanks to women's lib and us becoming balanced people. Everybody is two people.
Absolutely.
Therefore, would you please read Getting to I Do?
I have read it twice.
Okay. Then would you please respond to his flirting by flirting back? If he waves, you wave. If he smiles, you smile. If he talks, you answer.
So here's the issue now that I have, Dr. Pat. I've known him for 4 years now. And
what's wrong with that?
I feel like, in actuality, I'm going to leave my job in 2 months. I'm going to go to a different job, a different location, So he may see me sometimes, but he's going to see me less. And also,
wait a minute. What are you saying to me? Are you going to punish him for not asking you out?
No. But I'm leaving. So I'm just in this place where I'm like, okay, like, I feel like I've known him for 4 years. He just seems to, like, flirt back. Like, he's not making the step necessary. And once I move, I won't really be there anymore for him to play this game. So I'm not punishing him, but I am moving for my own self. I'm moving because I have to move. So I'm just in that place where I really need, I don't know what to do.
Do you want to write him a hi-bye letter?
No.
Okay, you don't want to do that? That's fine. Then simply move.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything. Are you giving a message to everybody? How many people work for you?
I'm not a boss. I'm just a regular employee.
Oh, you're just I see. So you and he both work for the company.
Yes.
And
this is this is the thing. Like, he can have worked at a different company, but he chose to come to my company. And, like, that, I just feel like I don't know what to do, but I'm, like, kind of getting tired of waiting.
Darling, that's what he's hoping you'll get tired of and that you'll ask him out. Don't. But I want you to smile when he smiles, wave when he waves, and talk when he talks to you.
Yes, I do. I swear to God.
Does everybody in the company know that you're leaving your home? I mean, do they know that there's going to be... You're not going to quit your job, are you?
I'm changing jobs and location. I'm moving to... Not too far. I'm only moving, like, 40 minutes away, but I am moving. So, and I don't see him being able to move anytime soon.
So are you going to send a little note to everybody that knows you and thank them for when you quit? If you quit, you can give everybody a notice, a cute card, something that says you've enjoyed working with them and you're moving to wherever you're moving. And if you want, in his card, you might put your number, your phone number.
Yes, he has all my contacts. He's my friend.
Okay, then you've already done it. I'm proud of you. That's fine. How about you just go about, you're not moving because of him, are you?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
All right. So please feel free to move and flirt with three other men and date them to see if they want you.
Yes.
All right.
I am. Okay, so let me just make sure I understand you fully. Because we are friends and we sometimes have lunch together, I have already hinted
Wait
to
a minute.
That I'm moving.
Those are dates.
No, it's not.
Honey, I want you to understand that when a man goes to lunch, does he ask you out or do you ask him out?
He generally asks me, but he's not paying for my lunch or anything.
Did he pay for your lunch? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. So he wants to have a convenient relationship, but you've been dating him all of this time?
Yes. I go to lunch with him like once or twice a month.
Do you ever need an escort to a wedding or a funeral or something?
Maybe I will. So far, no, but I get what you're saying. I can tell him to come with me.
What you can do is say, somebody gave me these theater tickets. Would you be willing to escort me?
Okay.
But use the word escort.
Okay.
Let's give it a go.
Okay.
But
I'll think of something.
Do it before you move, please.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Yes, I can do
Good
that.
Girl.
I have one
okay.
more question. Yes. So
Excellent.
I have one more.
You have what?
I have one more question.
What is it?
So I am dutifully dating, but one of the people that's back in my life is my ex-boyfriend.
No, you're bringing up a whole different subject.
Yes.
Call next week.
Okay.
But I want to go to the next person.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Okay.
I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, caller.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see what... Oh, my goodness. Caller, you are live in the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Caller, you're live in the hot seat. Hello, caller. Okay, looks like we got a shy caller, and we'll have to wait for Sam to get us another one. In the meantime, I'll give everybody the number, 323-203-0815. Okay, that's a voicemail. We don't want to talk to your voicemail. We want to talk to you, callers. Pick up if you're in our queue. As Sam at the switchboard is going to call you back and connect you with us. 323-203-0815. Okay, let me talk to Sammy at the switchboard to see what's shaking. Looks like he's trying to get us another caller on the line. And so I will remind everybody that email to reach out to get in the groups is info@drpatallen.com. And we have started our newsletter again. It's beautiful, bright, fun, and delicious. So go to sign up for that newsletter at www.drpatallen.com and find it. Hello. We're sad we're missing you and we're getting your voicemail. So hopefully Sam will have another one for us that actually answers the phone. That'd be super. Okay. Again, www.drpatallen.com. And you peek around in there, you'll find where you can sign up for our... Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. So just a quick question. I have several men chasing me, and I really only have time to be available for dates on the weekend. So is it okay if I cancel on a guy if there's another guy that I like better that asked me out later in the week, or is that disrespectful?
You have my permission to the old guy for the new guy. If you're monogamous, continuous, and aiming towards marriage, that's betrayal.
Right. No, none of them are. They're pretty much first dates. But I like to hear for the best offer. And
yes, I want that.
Okay,
I want
good.
You
okay.
to date three people, three men. Get
okay.
three men
yes.
to date you, and then date those men three times before you dump them, unless you had to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer because they were so horrible. But if they were nice people, find out in three sessions if you've got any chemistry for them, even if you have them. They knew, and you want to replace, you've got a date with somebody.
Right. I am. I'm dating, three men are dating me. I keep a constant rotation.
Good. Okay. And somebody new has asked you for a date that's already gone.
Yes. I have two dates this weekend, but there's another guy that did ask me, but not formally, so I'm not going to go out with him. I'm going to go out with the guy that formally asked me and made a plan with me already.
Yes, but if you have a date coming up that is more appealing than the date you have, you make an appointment with him. I have something to say, and are you willing to hear me? It may not be pleasant. I have not, and I do not have the time for that date.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Okay. So that's what you do.
Okay.
But,
thank you.
But you don't betray somebody you're committed to. That's bad karma.
No, I don't have a boyfriend. That's why a lot of men are dating me, because I want a boyfriend. That's my point.
But you have a right. Women get what they want when they know what they don't want. You do not want to go on a date with a man that you already think you might not want him.
Yeah. And I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time during the week, so I want to make myself available for the best offer.
But I want you to do it kindly.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. All right. Let us see what we've got going on with Sam at the switchboard. LA Talk Radio plays us at different times and different days, but the only time you can talk to us live is Thursday. Only Thursday from 4 to 6 Pacific Standard Time. But you are more than welcome to dial in 2323-203-0815 to hop into the hot seat with Dr. Allen and ask your question. So I'm going to reach out. Our Facebook people have some questions, and they would love some answers from Dr. Pat. One of the questions is, Dr. Pat, in a relationship for 7 years, and my husband decided to run amok. I want to write him a hi-bye letter. Do I have to wait for one more week, or can I write the letter and give it to him now? It's been 7 weeks since he left. We have very limited contact, mostly about bills, nothing personal, via email only.
With a fear of emergency ending, I would say, yes, you can give him the hi-bye letter, and I want to give the structure of the hi-bye letter for anybody.
I love that, Dr. Allen. I think she knew that.
What?
I love that. She's asking for that.
Okay. The hi-bye letter is when he's leaving you, or you made a mistake by threatening him to leave, and he punished you by leaving you. In other words, these are the five stages of a hi-bye letter.
Oh my goodness, we've lost Dr. Pat, but we're going to get her back, and she's going to continue the five stages of the hi-bye letter. I want to remind everybody that the One Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit educational corporation, and your donation is tax deductible. Reach out to info@drpatallen.com for today, and we keep moving and shaking for all of you people out there. And let's see what's going on. I don't know. Verizon has been having quite a bit of problems this week. As a matter of fact, I think there was 210,000 customers without service off and on over the last 2 days. So maybe that's her connection and that's an issue. But I'll check in with Sam at the switchboard and see what we can do about it. Oh, there you are, Dr. Pat. Welcome back.
Yeah. Okay. Where did you leave me off?
Well, let's start with the beginning of the five paragraphs of the hi-bye.
All right. The hi-bye letter is for you leaving him leaving you. You mistaken and he's wanting to get back with you. So paragraph one is everything you liked about him or her. This works for men and women. The second paragraph is the pain.
Oh, we've lost Dr. Pat again. I'm so sorry. We're going to get her back. Hello, Dr. Pat. You're back. The second paragraph is where we're at.
The second paragraph is the pain of not having him or her in your life anymore. The third paragraph is what you want. And what you do want, if you're a man, and I'm not doing anything. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Dr. Pat, there's been some cellular telephone problems and some internet problems over the last 2 days. As a matter of fact, Verizon was out of service for 210,000 customers yesterday at 10:30 in the morning. So there's some stuff going on out in the ether, outer space, whatever you want to call it, that seems to be interfering with the connection. So
I will do my best right now.
Perfect.
Paragraph one, everything you like and love and lust, if you want to put that in. Paragraph two, the pain of them not being in your life the way you were. Paragraph three, what you don't want if you're a woman in the relationship. If you're a man, what you do want. Men get what they want by going after it. Women feel good to do good. Men do good to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth paragraph is what you do want or you don't want in a relationship. The opposite of what you said in the third paragraph. And the fifth paragraph is, thank you for reading this and hopefully responding to it by reaching back to me and working on our issues. In other words, you're building a bridge to somebody that has been that has left or you've left, and you want to build a bridge. So that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes. Yes.
So do
beautiful,
they need
Dr.
something
Pat.
Else besides? Okay?
No, she's just, I think she's confused. So her secondary question is old. Is this midlife crisis? And I know you've talked
No. Midlife crisis is a little bit more like closer to 50.
Mm-hmm.
So he's mm-hmm. a little young, but he may be prematurely. When men start losing their testosterone, the estrogen in their body, particularly their brain impact, their estrogen causes them to become very sensitive. Mm-hmm. Normally, men do good to feel good, even when they're rejected. They can handle it. But once they get up to 46, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, especially into the 50s, they really feel bad and they need to be cherished. Or they can't stay. The men need to be in good relationships more than women do. Women have a tendency to either go back to school or form poker clubs or bridge clubs with their girlfriends or book clubs. But women gather together for companionship, whereas men basically get another woman or they get sick. And there is a phenomenon called the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack, which happens when a man is inadvertently dropped by somebody, hopefully, that makes a mistake and writes a hi-bye letter. Because even if their heart is decently healthy, it's called the broken heart syndrome. Men become more feminine as they get older, 50 to 60, and women get more stridently masculine, controlling, producing. And that's when women become cougars, and very often they go with younger men than older men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting, Dr. Pat. Very, very interesting.
Okay.
We do have another question from our Facebook family, and they say we're deserted. No, you're not. We love you, Facebook family. Okay. Woman, I find it difficult to determine whether or not it's time to kick them free. Sometimes I feel some chemistry, but I'm not sure if the chemistry will develop or if I don't have full chemistry by date three, I decline date four. What should I do, Dr. Pat?
Look, dating men or dating women, whichever you are, give them three chances to trigger you, either with their humor or their comfort or something. But if on the third date you really are not interested in chemistry with this person, then you tell them, when they ask for a fourth session, you say to them, I appreciate the dates we've had, but to be honest, I don't have the right romantic chemistry, and I don't want to take advantage of you or lead you on. But if you're willing to be in a friendship date situation, I call a duty date, it's not romantic, but it's friendship, I am willing to date you as a friend because you are a nice person, but we're not compatible with my chemistry.
So her next question is, does chemistry ever start or spring forward after you have these friend type dates? Maybe like date nine, you start to feel more romantic toward them. Does that ever happen or does it not?
It sure happens when they stop using drugs, when they stop drinking, when women lose weight. Oh, a lot of things change. When you look, men pray that women will not change from their dating lover before marriage.
Right.
Women, on the other hand, pray that they can change their men after they're married and that he won't mind she puts on.
Right. I do.
So
I do. Oh, okay. We have a flash message. She is saying, do women ever experience the tachycardiomyopathy?
Hello?
Oh, hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
I'm in your Tuesday group, and I was the one who had a question about when you have a dream about and the situation in the dream happens a few days later.
Yes.
And I have the book, and I was trying to find the name of it. Is it The Super Conscious on page 29?
When you dream, listen, I'll give you an example. I had a secretary, and she dreamt that he fired her, and he hadn't fired her, but down the road, he fired her. And she already had the dream. That's simply, scientists think that our universe, which is full of universes, is concave. And if you're on one side of that concave bowl, you have an opportunity to look at the part that's following you. So have to look up my book because I remember you asking me this. But the dream is simply that you are picking up on reality that hasn't happened, but you dreamt of it because it did happen.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, if you want, why don't you get Patricia Eltage's book?
I have it.
Oh, you have it. Well, all I'm telling you is that we can forecast dream, but there's a special name for it. And when I get off the phone, I'm going to look it up. So when I see you, am I going to see you next Tuesday?
Because I missed the deadline.
Okay, well, then you'll call me on the show right here, and I'll tell you what the... Look, I don't have the technical name for this style of dream. I'm just telling you what it is.
Okay. Yeah,
but
the
I
only
want
thing
to
I
give
could
you...
find were...
What?
The part that I could... The only thing I could figure out in the book that looked like it was... The name was the super conscious because it said classified as visions, spiritual experience.
Does it talk about forecasting?
No.
That may be the name.
Okay.
I've went through the book with you Tuesday, but I haven't gone back to it. I'll go through it and you get. All you do is call on this show, and I'll tell you what it is. But
okay.
I won't tell you anything different about what it does.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where are you, caller?
Okay, so the question was, Dr. Allen, do women ever... experience the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, or is that just something strictly for men?
You know, I've got to explain that women's brains, all women's brains, have a larger corpus callosum that communicates feelings and thinking. Have a smaller corpus callosum, and they're either in their left lobe thinking or they're in their right lobe feeling. Now, when a man falls in love, and remember, men do not fall in love when they date you and you give them free sex, free meals, free girlfriends. Men have to be attracted. They pick with their eyes. And when they pick, they try to get their penis in your mouth, anus, or your vagina. And if you let them do it, he can't fall in love with you. And you will have a love affair of 3 to 8 years, whatever you're doing. But it won't mature into a super spiritual loving relationship. I had two women get engaged this week in a group that I run. But so far I've had like 17 people, women. I teach just women in the class. And I want you to understand, I'm about to say something significant. Right-handed men, when they fall in love, risk their life. Because if a woman betrays him, it shocks his nervous system so much that because of his way that the brain is built, women can feel and think men who are right-handed think or feel. And if they're thinkers and they've got a not-so-good girlfriend, fiance, wife, they are so depressed by their mistake that it kills them. Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, heart attack. Left-handed men, Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Jefferson. Left-handed men, ambidextrous men, have bigger corpus callosums, and they can mix their thoughts and feelings. When a man is creative, he creates with his feminine, anima. When a woman is creative, she creates with her masculine, animus. I am now, at this moment, in my male. I'm teaching, which is left lobe. I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you science. Because everything I teach, I base on science. Okay?
Yes, most definitely.
Have I explained? Okay. Have I explained?
Oh, yes.
Am I talking to Kelly?
Yes, you are, Dr. Pat. Talking to me, Dr. Pat, but we have a caller on the line now for you to talk to. Caller, you're live on there with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Dr. Allen, I found a 5-sentence letter that I wrote to my mother when I was around 8 or 10 years old. And it's a little confusing. I was wondering if you can help me interpret.
What?
Ask
me a question.
Was
it a hi-bye letter?
No, well, I was like 8 or 10 years old to my mother. It was written on vacation. And I said, do you want to know the surprising truth? Question mark. I wouldn't have anyone else for my mother. You love me too much. You are doing right.
Okay. But what was the goal? Did you want to have relationships with her? Did you want to go to therapy with her? What did you want to do?
No. The next line in the letter is what made me wonder what was going on. Because I just said, making sure my life isn't miserable and avoiding the wrong things is your job. And too bad I haven't thanked you or given you the rewards yet. That part puzzled me.
I think you need to talk to a therapist.
Okay.
I do not have clarity of the question.
Okay. Yeah.
What is it
like
you
on want
to change?
Well, it just looked like I was thanking her. I was just thanking her for not making me miserable on this vacation.
Your mother has a right to be who she is, and you have a right to reject her.
Okay. Is there anything else that's going on developmentally for a girl around 8 to 10 and her mother?
I simply hear that you've got some anger, resentments at your mother.
Okay.
But do you want to go to therapy with her? What do you want to do with her?
No, it was just, I didn't expect to see that from a young age.
You told your mother your truth.
Okay.
What did she say back?
Well, she collapsed around 10.
Then, has she treated you differently since she got the letter?
No, it's been miserable the whole time.
then may I recommend that you not talk to your mother?
Okay.
But let her know that if she's willing to work with you, with or without a therapist, you'll consider it, which is a high bye letter. Why don't you write a high bye letter?
Because she's needed me now because of her old age and her health issues. She's
so
a little bit mentally
disabled. You don't want to build a relationship with her.
I don't know if it's possible. That's why I don't.
It's possible. That's what I've done for 51 years.
Oh,
this
okay.
session is on podcast. Why not listen to this session and write her a high bye letter?
Okay.
But do it my way, not your way.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Caller, do you know how to do the high bye letter?
I told her to listen to the...
The email info at Dr. Pat Allen.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
You can make an appointment for her to critique it.
Yes.
But
okay, great.
This particular podcast has the 5 steps on it over and over and over again.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You, caller. Let me see if Sam has another caller for us real quick. I'm going to check in with our switchboard. In the meantime, 323-203-0815 is the number to call. Okay. So let me see here. I am a 39-year-old man. I want to marry my fiance. I keep trying to set a date. She seems resistant. She is 34. I'm 39. What do I have to do to convince her to actually marry me and not just be my fiance?
The best thing you can do is appreciate that she's your fiance. Until she starts needing to build a life with somebody, and you've been there. I consider engagements commitments. I believe in legal marriage, but I also know there are people that only want to mate. And they only want to be engaged. They don't want to be legally married. And so if you're having a relationship with someone and they're monogamous and they're continuous and you've been with them a while, long time, hopefully, I suppose you can get a prenup for a financial dissolution if you separate, but I don't think that you have to break an engagement to get somebody to legally marry you. You are in a commitment now.
Very true, very true. Okay. Dr. Allen, I'm very interested in what you talked about setting the Lyman, because I would like to start to remember my dreams and be able to write them down. I know you said setting your alignment can sometimes trigger your being able to remember your dreams. Can you please explain setting the alignment and how it relates to remembering dreams?
Okay, first I'm going to do remembering dreams. The alignment is 3 to 5 minutes or so between going to sleep and waking up. And it's when your conscious mind and your subconscious mind get together in contact. Now, the left lobe in your brain is your thinking male do-good lobe, and the right lobe is feeling-centered, physical drink. So when you set your alignment, what you do before you go to bed is have a pen or a pencil, write down three pleasant things you intend to explore tomorrow. That's yin, that's feminine, that's it. And then write down three productive things you want to do to help your life work. Do good. And when you write those down, those are the like lesson plans for tomorrow. And I recommend the book by Malata now, called Subliminal, which talks about the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. And it, you will see that men generally pay attention to their intuition, which is created by their left hemisphere, the brain and their left side of their brain. Women, on the other hand, because we have that bigger corpus callosum and we have estrogen, we dream, we really need to have some pleasure sensually, whether it's cooking a meal or taking a bubble bath or getting a massage or making love to your husband, whatever it is, we need to write down three pleasures and three productions, you see? But here's the secret. When you write those down, you're setting your lesson plans for tomorrow. Everybody is either a man's body or a woman's body. And if it's a man, he has a feminine soul, and the woman has a masculine soul. And because of that, you've got to remember to write down what your lesson plans for tomorrow are. And when you're waking up and just basically starting to wake up, please have either a cell phone to write, to talk into, or write down any images. I saw a tiger climbing a tree, blah, 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 blah. Write down every little image that you're seeing with your eyes shut. The problem with most people is they don't set alignment, so they wake up the next day clumsily, floundering around, trying to figure out what to do with the day. And when they wake up, they open their eyes, get out of bed, and wipe the dream clear off the screen. So that's what you do with dreams. You capture them.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Dr. Pat. I agree with that. That's amazing. When I was younger, I had a difficult time remembering dreams. Only certain dreams would stand out and stick with me. for long periods of time. And ironically, it was a dream that I had repeatedly starting around the time that right after my grandmother died. And I've actually had, I think I was about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old. And I've had that dream off and on through my life, and I'm 58. And I actually just recently had that dream again about 2.5 weeks ago. It's exactly the same every time.
Why don't we do it?
Okay, here's what happens. I am probably around 20 years old, and I'm wearing a long white dress, and I'm walking, it has stones, and I walk across the stones. When I get to the
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm writing down.
Uh-huh.
Stones. Yeah. Go ahead.
So when I get to the other side of the riverbed, the stream across the stones, there's a house, and it's like a little cottage, something that you would see out of a fairy tale. And there's smoke coming out of the chimneys, and there's wood shutters and a wood door. And
Wait a minute. Okay. There's smoke coming out of the chimney?
Yes.
Okay. And then what was the next scene?
There's flower boxes and a little path up to the door. And okay, I go to the... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
When I get to the door, there's a heart carved in that's the peak hole. And my grandmother opens the door, and she never says a word. I walk in, and I sit down at a little table in the kitchen where the fire's going, and she pours me a cup of tea.
Wait a minute. Okay. And is the fire in the, is it in an oven? What is it in?
It's in a fireplace in the kitchen.
Okay. Fireplace in the kitchen. That's what I needed.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And she pours me tea out of a teapot. Bottom of the cup are tea leaves. And she looks at me. She never says a word. She says, "You have to go now. If you don't, they'll find you here. Don't go the same path you came on." That's all she doesn't speak it.
Wait a minute. Go now. And what was the direction?
Go now or they'll know you're here.
Did you know who they were?
No. And she says, "Don't take the path you came on. Go another way."
Yes.
And then I leave. And when I do, the bottom of my dress is ragged and I'm barefoot. And
wait,
I walk
a minute.
The
you leave your long dress.
The bottom of it's
what?
Ragged and dirty. Ragged and dirty.
Okay.
And I take off walking the opposite direction of the way I came. Then I wake up.
Okay. Now, are you okay with me reading your dream?
Yes.
Okay. You're 20 years old, which is the end of your teen years, and you're wearing a long, formal, white dress, which sounds like a wedding dress.
It was more country.
I know that, but I'm just saying it was a long dress. Were you in a relationship at this time?
I was not.
Okay, so you were a single girl having a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers, you had flowers in a field in this spot in the dream, whereas it's in the boxes later on in the dream, okay?
Right, yes.
Okay, so flowers are what flowers are. They're nature's gifts of beauty.
Yes.
And the stream, water, you're walking across the stream on stones, which is very constructive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is a house, a cute cottage type house.
Yes.
Which is a dream house, not really a constructed house. Do you understand?
Right.
This dream,
yes.
This dream is the flowers, what, and then you dream of the flower boxes. And on the
yes.
door, there is a cut as a peek hole shaped like a heart.
Yes.
Was your birth mother your mother, or was your grandmother your mother?
My birth mother was my mother, but my grandmother was my best friend.
No, that's not your best friend. That's your mother. Look what it says. Okay, you're going
okay.
in. Grandma opens the door in the little cottage,
yes.
but does not talk. You know why?
Mm-mm. No, I've never understood that.
She stands behind your mother who talks.
Ah.
Was your mother masculine or feminine?
My mother was, well, I was the middle child. I was the invisible child. My mother was
That's
masculine.
The one. That's right. But your grandma, which side of the brain talks, right or left?
The right side.
The right side is the feeling side. It doesn't
right.
construct anything. Look what your grandma, and I'm telling you now, grandma opens the door, doesn't talk. You sit down and talk by the fireplace in the kitchen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what you did was you had a visit. At the time of your first dream, was she alive or dead?
She had just passed away.
That's right. This is a trauma dream.
Yeah.
Is your mother alive now or not?
No, my mother's been gone a long time.
Did she die before your grandma or after?
No, she died after.
She died after. You lost your mm-hmm. grandma first.
Yes.
But the, here's the secret, is that what you're doing is asking me to tell you what your grandma meant to say to you, which she did
yes.
say. She said, go now. And you know what go now means? Don't
what?
Talk to Pat Allen or anybody like her, because you're going to find out your mother is not your mother, and I don't talk to you like a mother, because I'm your loving mother, not your
yes.
teachy, preachy mother.
Yes.
Your grandma was feminine.
Thank you.
Of doing good to feel good, or feel good to do good?
I have to tell you, in my own self, I've found duality with respect to that. depending on what I'm doing in my professional life and in my personal life. It depends. I would guess to say at this point in my life at 58, I'm probably narcissistic in that way.
And that means you have not formed permanent relationships called marriage.
I have lost the permanent relationship that was marriage.
But you have not been loved like grandma did.
Yes. And you know what the irony is? She was my father's mother, not my mother's mother.
Wow.
My grandmother was my dad's mom, not my mom's mom.
She raised your father to be a man,
yes,
from what I know.
Oh, yes, she did. My dad
but
is.
But do you understand that your birth mother taught you to be a man, and your father, in the industry he was in, helped you be a man in that industry? Is that correct?
That's 100% correct, Dr. Pat. Nailed it on
I
the
know
head.
That. Because I have been listening to you for how many years?
Oh, my goodness. We are coming up on like 20 years, 18 years, I think, right? 18 years.
Do you realize that you are actually using me to tell you that you must be loved as a woman?
Yes.
Who loves you as a woman? Do any of your kids?
I think that they are, as they've grown into adults, they do. Specifically, probably my third born. I'm always mama to all of them, but now they'll
and
come to me.
Mama is and male or female?
It's masculine, definitely.
So.
But my third born relates to me on a more adult woman to woman level.
No, that's man to man.
Right.
What am I doing with you right now?
You are trying to find out who it is that I believe has loved me like a woman. And at this some point in my life, I don't know that anyone ever has.
What am I doing now?
You're helping me to figure that out.
I'm loving you like your grandma loved you. She
Most
says,
certainly.
Go, she says, go now or they, that's your mom, birth mom, will know you're here. Do you understand
yeah.
that?
Yeah, she'll know you're here. They'll know you're here.
You see?
Yeah.
Leave now. You see? Go in
yes.
the opposite direction.
Right.
I want you to write a daughter letter to your grandma.
I will do it. I will do it. Very exciting.
I want you to write a hi-bye letter to your birth mother, because they're in existence, dear.
Oh, I know
they're
they
not
are.
Gone.
Oh, just gone.
Do you understand that as a man, you intellectually evaluated these dreams from a wounded position?
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, and this dream, I've been dreaming this dream 50 years.
Am I telling you the truth of your mother not being your mother?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
And your father your dad was a good dad. I remember that.
He was amazing, and he was very cherishing.
I know he was, except your mother was a role model for you, and you picked it up.
Yeah. I don't think you can live that without picking it up. And that's why doing my script with you, the many times I've done it, has been so amazingly effective, because I know the parts of my script that my mother wrote, and I know the parts of my script that my father wrote, and I've been doing rewrites now since you and I have been together repeatedly. I think the script is getting better, Dr.
I think it's getting better, and you are literally going to take the message that I have taught you and go out and treat people like your grandma, not like your mom.
Like my grandma, most definitely.
Would you please write a daughter, grandma, mom letter to your mother? Do you have a picture of your grandma?
I do. I have many pictures of her. All the
She is your mother spiritually, dear.
Yes, she is.
But she was blockaded from talking.
Yes, she was.
I know that. That's what the dream said.
But she was a firebrand. And, you know, but she was all female. She was pure feminine energy. And of course,
I know that, dear. You know. But do you understand? You are very masculine, but you are also extraordinarily feminine.
I love it.
You and your boyfriend saved my grandson's life.
We did. We were a great team.
And I am so honored that you have agreed to take over participating in the Want Institute to hopefully do for people what I'm doing for you now and your grandmother did for you then, and you didn't know it until today. Your mother is not your mother. Hi, bye letter, please.
Gotta do it, Dr. Pat. We're out of time. I've loved this so much. This has been amazing. What do you have to say before we go tonight?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Amen. We love you, everyone. We're going to be back next week. Don't forget, get on that list for our groups, info@drpatallen.com. Until then, be safe and love well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.